Hello, Connection Cafe readers and listeners. Welcome to the next podcast interview in a series of conversations with Blackbaud employees, partners, and friends. My name is Corey Podorotsky, and I'm a solutions architect here on the enterprise team at Blackbaud. This month's conversation is a little unique in that it's the first time I've interviewed two employees at once. I'll have a chance to talk to Watt Hamlet and Troy Walker, two of my teammates on the enterprise pre-sales consulting team. I thought this conversation would be an interesting way to share with all of you some of the integration efforts that have been taking place between the original Blackbaud team and the former Convio team that is now part of the Blackbaud family. We start our conversation with introductions from Watt and Troy about how they came to work for Blackbaud.
I'm Watt Hamlet. I am a lead solutions engineer with Blackbaud, formerly with Convio. I was with Convio about 4.5 years in that role and have now been with Blackbaud about 6 weeks. Prior to coming to Convio, I was on staff with a nonprofit organization, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, also known as NAMI. And in that role, I managed their web operations for about 5 years. So that included pretty much everything they did online, from content management to email marketing, online fundraising, online advocacy. And I also, while I was there, was involved in building their first peer-to-peer fundraising system for their NAMI Walks program. So we chose to build that in-house starting in around 2002, and actually it was still going strong up to this year. So that's kind of one of my points of pride for the time I spent there with NAMI.
Hi, my name's Troy Walker. My actual title is Manager of Technology Sales Programs, which I guess is a fancy way of saying solutions engineer or sales engineer. My college degree is actually in advertising. I've worked in advertising for about 10 years and was ready for a change. And my change from advertising was actually my position started at Convio in 2001. From Convio, I moved on to Blackbaud, where I've been working as a solutions engineer since then.
And I thought it'd be really kind of fun to interview both of you as this, the first Connection Cafe interview that I've published really since the acquisition of Convio by Blackbaud. And the reason why I thought it would be fun was that, you know, all three of us work on the same team. And then also it's sort of representative, I think, of what's going on at Blackbaud as a whole, which is, you know, the two teams learning about one another, how we did things kind of before the acquisition, and then figuring out where there's, you know, synergies and where we can work together. Can you guys share a little about just how that process has gone for us on our team thus far?
This is Watt. So we're about 6 weeks, I think, into the period post-acquisition. And so there have been a lot of internal meetings happening, everything from trying to educate one another on the various solution sets that we both offer, to how we're going to integrate our account structure and our product roadmap. So lots and lots of activity. I had the pleasure about 3 weeks ago of joining a set of former Convians to go down to Blackbaud headquarters in Charleston and meet with representatives from their solutions engineering team. So it was great to get to meet folks like Troy face-to-face. It was really fun, actually. For the 4.5 years I'd been at Convio prior to this, had been really actively competing against Blackbaud just day in and day out, but never really having a lot of insight into who the people were I was competing against or exactly what kind of solutions they were offering to our clients. So it was really fun to, you know, to get to meet folks, as well as to be able to understand more about how Blackbaud solutions really work. So that's, you know, that's been, I guess, just part of the interesting aspect of bringing the two companies together.
Yeah, I'd really echo the same things that Watt has said as well. I've been so impressed with the people that I've met from Convio. It's just been a really, really good experience. I mean, both companies have such strong strengths, and seeing those strengths come together over the past 6 weeks has been really fun to see. I can't wait to see where we are 6 months from now, even a year from now. It's going to be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's been fun just to see how much, you know, energy there is. And I think, you know, one of the things that we all shared that we agree on is just, a passion for serving the nonprofit community. And so, you know, kind of seeing that background of everybody and what brought them to, you know, work for the company has been fun and exciting for me. What are your guys' memories of, like, the first charitable causes that you ever worked with or gave to? Can you share a little about just, you know, what the nonprofit sector means to you or your history with that?
Yes. I mean, my first experience doing anything with nonprofits was as a child with the Boy Scouts, going door to door selling candy bars. I know they sell popcorn now. I actually have the privilege of working with them today on the internet side of things and seeing how that they've, you know, come over the past, you know, couple of decades. It's pretty cool. I know as an adult now, I've been doing a lot of stuff with the Lance Armstrong Foundation, writing in their Live Strong Challenge, and doing some peer-to-peer fundraising with them as, you know, just as a participant too, which has been pretty cool.
Yeah, likewise, my involvement with nonprofits started pretty young. I remember also going door-to-door trying to raise money for a youth group I was a part of through an organization called the Modern Woodmen. I'm not even sure they're around anymore, but it was a bowl-a-thon is the way we were trying to raise money. So I was trying to get people to sponsor me for each pin that I knocked down as part of this bowling experience. So I guess that was my first experience as a nonprofit fundraiser. But I think just in general, I was raised as a Southern Baptist, and I think just there's a real emphasis placed on service to others in that context, so that really informed sort of my outlook. And, you know, since that time as a child, I've been involved with groups like Habitat for Humanity, doing house builds, you know, volunteering in soup kitchens and homeless shelters, and the list goes on and on. And then more recently, I've had the opportunity to serve on the board of a nonprofit organization. That was a very enlightening experience, really understanding more about what it means to try to help an organization be sustainable over the long term, all the things that have to go into financial accountability and, you know, thinking out 5, 10, 20 years for the organization, and how do you ensure it has the resources it needs to operate. It's been a good experience kind of getting to come at nonprofit organizations from lots of different angles.
Both of you alluded earlier to just how in our roles we've been learning more about the products and services of former Convio products and services and Blackbaud products and services. What would you say is the best kept secret in terms of either new things that you've learned about, or, you know, existing products or services that others may not know about, or that you don't think get enough really, you know, attention that clients or other people in the nonprofit sector might not realize?
You know, this is Troy, and I'll identify myself, so because it's kind of corny, my answer, but I think it's the people. I know that's not directly related to the product, but, you know, the way that, and Watt had mentioned this earlier too, is there is such a passion for the nonprofit space within the organization, and that, you know, is throughout the company in terms of how we go to build the products. When we're talking to clients and just our passion for what we do, I think it all kind of rolls into the product itself. I really think that is the secret recipe for why we are as successful as we are.
Yeah, that's a great answer, actually. I know on the Convio side of things, over time, I think our services have just gotten stronger and stronger. We're offering many more services now than we used to, things like business intelligence and analytics reporting, change management services. We have really, really excellent information architecture and user experience services, and I think we don't often do as good a job of getting the word out about those as we could, you know, to be able to be more of a one-stop shop for organizations looking for that complete package.
Since we're all nonprofit techies and generally always curious about ways to do our jobs better, do either of you have any tips in terms of, you know, what clients or others in the nonprofit sector might do to get their jobs done better? Any favorite tips or tricks to share?
This is Watt. I'll go first. Shortly after I started with Convio, we had an outside company come in and do some training around a program called the Effective Edge. And it was essentially just how to operate more effectively day-to-day and whatever your role is in using Outlook. So, you know, how not to be crippled by your inbox and your to-do list, but really effectively manage those. So I've really, over the past 3+ years, I've really tried to put that into effect and have found that it's helped me be more efficient and keep the chaos at bay.
You know, I'd say mine's pretty simple, and that's, you know, we get a lot of questions on can the product do X or Y, and it's so easy to just jump in and answer the question and show how it actually does it in terms of what we do as sales engineers. But really, it takes a discipline to really back yourself up and ask the question why. On, you know, when someone's asking a question on whether a product can do something, it's just really discovering what it is that they're, or how they're trying to use the product and what the end game is going to be. Now, a lot of times it might be reporting too, so it's really getting down to the metrics and determining know what it is that's going to make them successful in terms of the questions they're asking versus just answering the question.
Yeah, and I bet you all of us would agree that that's kind of the one of the more fun aspects of our job is the not just looking at how to answer the question, but looking at, you know, what's the sort of benefit that the client is trying to gain from the process, and then what's maybe even a smarter way to be able to accomplish what the goal is.
Exactly.
Any favorite experiences of just the jobs that both of you do that you have? Any sort of favorite stories to share or really meaningful moments that you've had through your career at Blackbaud?
This is Watt. This is a very rewarding role, and it kind of is rewarding in two phases. It's actually pretty fun to get to go into organizations at a point in time when they're looking to make some kind of change, particularly around their technology or just overall the solutions that they're using within the organization, and to get to bring some ideas in for them and help them see how they might be able to do things more effectively or get better results as an organization. So it's fun to be a part of the process in that evaluation stage, but then it's even more rewarding a year or two down the road after they have adopted the solution to see the kinds of results that they're able to get. And if we've done our jobs well, then they are doing better than they were before. And that's very, very gratifying, especially for causes that, you know, you might feel particularly an affinity for, to know that you're helping to make a difference in that cause through the work that you've done.
Yeah, I would generically answer it the same way. As I get all of my passion from just seeing our clients succeed. You know, we go down a path where, you know, because we're part of the sales team, we're really trying to influence their decision and choosing one product or the other. And by helping them make those decisions, you do feel like you're vested in their success or in their failures as well. So I do get a lot of satisfaction out of every little win that our clients have. And every time that they renew, I do get a lot of satisfaction out of that.
And both of you have worked in the nonprofit sector focused on technology for some time now. What do you get most excited about in terms of what the future holds for nonprofits?
You know, I really am excited, especially with the acquisition of Convio, just the internet space alone. We have so many clients that are doing really, really well within the web space, but have so many clients that could really benefit from the tools that we have and the expertise that we're bringing on with the Convio asset as well. I'm looking forward to just that. Obviously, mobile and everything that goes along with that and the future of the web itself. But I think it's just, you know, it's just a baby step too for some of our clients to get in and start doing some fundamentals on the internet and then getting into some of these really new cool things.
I think it's exciting just to see the way that our collective tool sets continue to evolve. I know maybe it doesn't happen at the pace that we would like it to or that our customers would like it to, but slowly and surely things are getting better. And the thing that excites me most is just the things that are making it easier for constituents to engage with organizations. I just think about my own experience as a constituent of different nonprofits, and the easier, the simpler they can make it for me to engage with them and be their supporter, the more likely I am to do that. And so that's, you know, everything from the tools that are now available for peer-to-peer fundraising to make it easy for me to reach out and raise money for organizations, to, you know, being able to text in a donation if a natural disaster strikes. I think, you know, those things are going to continue to be really key, just continuing to lower the bar for people to stay invested in causes.
In our work, like we talked about a little earlier, a lot of it is problem solving and kind of figuring out maybe a new way of doing things or a different angle of approaching a challenge. When you guys are stumped, what do you do to kind of break out of that rut? Do you listen to music? Do you get up and get away from the desk? What's your kind of routine to be able to brainstorm or think creatively?
Yeah, my head frequently hurts at the end of the day from thinking so hard around the kinds of things we're trying to solve for our clients. Most of the time I work on site in our office here in D.C., so I have an hour commute back home. So, I will frequently, once I'm done for the day, you know, pop in the earbuds and hook it up to the iPod and you know, I find music as a way to kind of shake the cobwebs loose. You know, often by the time the evening is over or getting started the next day, yeah, I'm able to think of something that maybe hadn't occurred to me before. So, yeah, music is definitely a part of kind of recentering myself.
Yeah, I don't really have a go-to. I mean, I'll do different things, you know, just getting away from the computer, walking around, you know, pacing around a little bit helps. Music, obviously, is a huge one. I'd love to be able to, you know, being from Austin, too, Lyle Lovett has a strong influence here. I love his music, and that seems to be kind of my soothing go-to. And I shouldn't admit this, but Black Eyed Peas are one of the ones that I will use if I need to get a little bit more amped up.
Nice.
I think there's a lot worse guilty pleasures than Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, I could have definitely picked some worse.
Well, you didn't mention what type of music you listen to. What are your favorites?
Yeah, it's mostly New Kids on the Block.
Okay.
I love it. No, that was true at one point in time, but not anymore. Yeah, you know, for me, most of my musical interests evolve in some way around jazz, and that's a pretty broad category for me. You know, everything from you know, very traditional jazz to contemporary jazz to then artists that, you know, take a jazz-like approach like Lyle Lovett. I'm a huge Lyle Lovett fan. Sting, Sade, Steely Dan, that tends to be what I gravitate to. You know, my tastes are fairly eclectic.
So one of the things with the acquisition was that we assigned buddies across the, you know, Blackbaud team and the formerly Convio team members, and I know that the two of you were actually paired up as buddies. Can you share a little about that experience and how that went and how it's helped us to do our jobs better as well?
You know, taking it from the Blackbaud point of view, going into it, I thought it was more going to be, you know, helpful to the new Convio people in terms of just being able to ask any question that they wanted to ask, that they, you know, didn't have to be afraid about asking, and we'd give honest feedback in terms of the questions that were asked. I actually have learned a lot from the Convio side as well, just in terms of how things are being done, personalities and so on. I think that the program itself has been extremely successful from my point of view.
Yeah, and having seen Blackbaud as a competitor for so many years, I've just appreciated just seeing how similar folks from Blackbaud are to folks from Convio, shared level of commitment, a lot of the same shared vision. And so that's, to me, has been kind of a relief in a way. You know, not really sure what the Blackbaud culture would be like or what it would be like to be part of the company. But there really is, I think, so much overlap in between our staff and even kind of even to a product level that I think it's just a very natural fit. One of the cool things for me being here in the D.C. office is that Blackbaud has not traditionally had a strong office presence in D.C. So, but there are a number of people from Blackbaud who live and work here in the area. And so just day by day, new faces will show up here in the office of people who are part of Blackbaud and play different roles. And so it's been fun just to have lunch with folks in the break room or just stop by the cube and get to know new names and faces. To me, it's just a sign of how the companies are really beginning to integrate.
Fantastic. One of the questions I like to ask to get a sense for what people work on is, what's the first thing you're going to go and work on after you leave this interview? I think that gives a good sense of sort of, you know, what are the most urgent things in your plate or what's a typical day in the life?
This is what I spoke earlier about, the effective edge training that we got at one point in time in Convio. So I really live by my calendar and my task list much more than I ever have had to in my professional career. So just looking at my calendar here, I've got time blocked after this meeting to finish up a statement of work that I've been working on, a new organization that's interested in becoming a Blackbaud client. So I've been working on a detailed statement of work that outlines the exact services we're going to provide that are going to set them up for their deployment and their success on the platform.
And I have a discovery call coming up for a public broadcasting station. So it's just trying to get down to, you know, their needs and current pains.
Cool. And my closing question is always to complete this sentence. So if each one of you could follow up with this, I'll let Troy, I'll let you go first. Life is full of?
I'd say change. And I'd say, you know, early in my career, I mentioned that I'd worked for an ad agency. One of the CEO at the time, it says change is inevitable. You just need to kiss it on the lips. I really took that to heart. I obviously am not kissing it on the lips, but have taken it to heart that, you know, you really do need to embrace change. And I think that actually kind of sums up where we are today.
And what?
Life is full of movies and books about vampires and zombies and I'm not really sure why.
And that wrapped up the conversation with Watt and Troy. Let us know on the Connection Cafe if you have any follow-up questions or suggestions for our future conversations. So until next time, thanks for listening and keep up the great work.